This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobbo Hobgood on Fox Sports 910.
All right, welcome back. Who's Talking tonight? ACC Tournament Edition. And we are joined on the phone right now by my co-host, Mr. Frank Maloney, calling in. And Frank, you can help us out. You'd be chastising me. I have not yet talked about the Who's Talking Special Edition shows coming up later this week. So why don't you start by filling everybody in on what's coming later this week from the ACC Tournament?
Well, we're very excited to be going up to the Verizon Center this week. You and I will be traveling up there on Wednesday and getting situated. Thursday night and Friday night, Who's Talking will air at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are working on a couple of terrific guests to appear on the show. We're excited that Norman Nolan, who is the ACC legend for UVA, will be joining us on Thursday. On Friday, we're hoping to line up Jimmy Miller, and somewhere in between those two shows, Ted Jeffries and possibly Dave Kane. So these will be a lot of fun. We've always had fun at the ACC tournament, and this will be the first time we've done this not in Greensboro. So it's going to be a little bit of an adventure, I'm sure, to get acclimated. Right, Hobbo?
Yeah, the Verizon Center, a little different venue. Terry and I were talking, you know, the thing about Greensboro is they've done it at Greensboro so many times. It goes smooth as silk there. But the ACC, this is the 63rd tournament, so this is not their first rodeo. So they're pretty good even when they have to take the tournament outside of Greensboro. But it'll be fun, and I think the timing is great for us because the Who's obviously play their first game 7 o'clock on Thursday night, so you can listen to our show 5:30 to 6:30 and then switch over to WRVA and hear Dave Kane and Ted Jeffries with the UVA pregame and then listen to the broadcast at 7 o'clock. And then Friday night, assuming the Who's win, they will play the second game Friday night, but our show will be 5:30 to 6:30 again on Friday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But what do the coaches always say? The fun is in winning. So it'll really be fun if we win. So that's the most important thing. Frank, I know you were at the game Saturday. What was your thoughts after the contest?
Well, you know, I thought that the atmosphere at JPJ was really awesome. And, you know, obviously there was that pregame love-in when each one of the seniors, of which there were five, received those framed jerseys, which I think is a very cool tradition. And, you know, the fans were cheering long and loud. I think the Virginia fans, if they didn't know it, they certainly knew within the first few minutes of the game that Virginia had their helmets on, they had their boots on, they had their backpacks, they had the bayonets affixed, and they were ready to go to battle because they jumped out on Louisville with a 10-0 start. And, you know, if they could do that up in the Verizon Center, I feel like Virginia could easily make the finals. And obviously playing Carolina anywhere is always going to be a great game. And we're assuming a lot of things there with some wins, but no reason to think that the seeding won't play out as planned. Virginia is a terrific basketball team. They've won four of their last five games, so they're coming in with a head of steam, I believe. They're healthy. Nolte is out of that boot, and Shayok's wrist is healthy. And my goodness, you know, Malcolm Brogdon, Hobbo, he played 37 minutes the other night. He and Parentes played 36. And believe it or not, Toby only played 25.
Yeah, that's pretty productive. 20 rebounds, 15 points in 25 minutes.
Well, that's an eternity for him.
Yeah, he was probably worn out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think people have to understand something. And Terry Gates knows this because he was a terrific rebounder. Rebounding is mostly about moving your feet and then having the desire to go after the ball and then getting two hands on that thing. If you notice in that game on Saturday night, Mike Toby was determined to get those defensive rebounds.
Well, the one advantage he had on Saturday is Louisville, I'm trying to say that right, they missed 42 shots, so that gives you a lot of opportunities for rebounds.
Yes, yeah. And you know, Louisville has struggled against Virginia's defense in three of the four contests we've played them in the last 2 years. And Virginia could easily have won 4-for-4. It took a miracle shot by a big man who hadn't taken a shot in about three games out there at the Yum Center last year for them to steal that game.
Brogdon had
made that great shot from right in front of the Virginia bench, and Terry Gates was sitting right there to see it, wasn't he?
Yep.
Well, you guys, I know you guys are doing a great job. I've been listening to the show online, and you guys sound terrific, and I want to really commend Wally Walker. I'm glad he was able to get a few words in edgewise, Hobo, but all kidding aside, no reason to think UVA can't go far. Player of the year and defensive player of the year, Malcolm Brogdon. What more can you say? The guy has been just incredible, and he's such a calm, cool, collected customer. He never seems to get rattled, and I think sometimes it's almost like he's too calm, and Fuentes is very calm, and you know, somebody needs to light a fire, and maybe that's Toby. Maybe that's Nolte. Maybe it's somebody who realizes they've only got a handful of games left in their collegiate career, and they need to, you know, start blowing off some steam and getting riled up, because I think this team needs a little bit of that, and they also need a few less turnovers from Fuentes. I think he's trending the wrong way with that. His shooting percentage has ascended, his turnover ratio has diminished. And
well, Terry can speak to that, too. I think sometimes London tries to make too spectacular a pass rather than the easier pass.
Yeah, sometimes a no-look bounce pass to nowhere or to the defense. But
well, he better have his helmet on and his head on straight up in D.C. at the Verizon Center, because – you know, it's so crucial for him to control the tempo and not make mistakes. Virginia is not going to make mistakes when they move the ball around the floor and they cut and screen and help each other. They'll get good shots. This team has proven they can get good shots. Obviously, making them is always a challenge for every team because you want to make them. But I thought, with the effort that Toby showed the other night, that's got to give everybody a lot of confidence.
Well, we could ask Terry about this too. The thing that amazed me the other night, it seemed like any time Louisville had the ball in their possession within like 3 to 5 feet of the basket, Virginia was just swarming over that individual. I mean, the fact that they give up nothing easy is mind-boggling to me. I mean, you know how well they play.
You know, I think the key down the stretch here is, you know, if there is 9 games left, they need to have a couple early games that go their way, and they don't have to play Malcolm 37 minutes, you know, against Louisville. They don't have to play Perantes, you know, that extensive amount of time. They can play other people, and hopefully that gets Toby and Nolte involved, and because you don't want to play Russian roulette with all these tight games, because 3-point shot will eventually burn you.
Well, that's a good point. You know, in your days when Virginia was playing in the ACC tournament, you're playing 3 consecutive days. Does that change the coach's player rotation at all if you're playing 3 straight days?
Probably the first game it does. You're going to see substitutions early and often. In the same, you know, you would see Nolte coming in, you'd see Toby probably coming in, because
particularly in the first half,
you're expecting to play 3 straight, you know, game. That's what you have to tee it up that way. Now, if you're the other team, you're just trying to get to tomorrow. You know, you don't care how you get to tomorrow. But with this group, I think you want to rest some people, and you want to play some people, and you want to keep everybody interested. You know, the Darius Thompsons of the world, you want to get them some minutes.
So we want Georgia Tech and Clemson to go like 4 overtimes or
something like that. Yeah, yeah.
All right, hey, quickly, I know you guys would love to talk basketball for 4 hours straight. Quickly, I did see the UVA baseball team in person on Friday. I was in the press box, and I really, you know, I think Friday was the first time this year that, you know, Virginia played the type of game that they've come to expect Brian O'Connor and his coaches, where, you know, they build a lead, they turn it over to one reliever, he does his job, and then, you know, in the last inning you go to your closer. And Friday, Alex Bettinger really pitched beautifully in that ninth inning and really put the clamps down on Monmouth. So hats off to them. They got 2 out of 3 this weekend from those guys. And I think this team is going to get there. And fortunately, it's a long baseball season with a lot of games. And I see a lot of potential. They could stand to not lose any more injuries. They did lose Jake McCarthy, I believe, is out for the season, which is unbelievable. He's the little brother of Joe McCarthy, who recently moved on to the pros. Lacrosse, I'm a little concerned. Virginia's not doing very well with the faceoff. I saw the first half and the beginning of the second half on Friday night, and I know Syracuse is one of the top teams. They're clearly loaded and a little bit more veteran in terms of their makeup. But, you know, Dom has got to get more out of the faceoff. It's been a bugaboo for 4 years now, and it's really starting to really hack me off. I can't really jump down the throat of the goalie because too many times a man was left unattended, and you just can't leave an attackman wide open near the crease.
Well, certainly we have every confidence that Brian O'Connor is going to figure it out on the baseball side. And, yeah, I mean, lacrosse has been the problem with lacrosse is Virginia has set such a high standard under Dom that not playing in the Final Four and not playing for national championships seems like a bad year.
Well, and let's be honest, it is. And also, to be fair, there's no reason with Klockner Stadium and with the coaches that Virginia has, there's no reason why they can't perform better. Right now, I believe they're 2-3, and that's just not right.
Well, we have tennis. We have tennis. The Who's beat up on the Hokies 6-1 over the weekend, so that's always good.
Well, and they also beat a very good Louisville team 7-0.
Yeah.
Women's tennis had a pretty darn good weekend. They almost had 3-0. They beat BPI 7-0, beat Clemson, but they lost to North Carolina 3-4. And I have a feeling they're going to see North Carolina again later in the year. And the men's team is number 2 in the country. The women are number 16, and no reason to think both squads won't be a factor in the NCAAs. Women's golf had their best outing this year so far. The women's golf team, led by Coughlin, they finished 2nd at the Darius Rucker Invitational down in Hilton Head. And
all right, you know, Hobo loves the lady golfers, but it is basketball season, so we got to get back to hoops here, Mr. Gates and I. But at any rate,
you guys got 1 minute.
1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute. last comment here. You got to admire, what's going on with Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, if ever a guy deserved to be player of the year, nobody deserved it more than he did. The voting reflected that. Defensive player of the year, he's the first player in ACC history to be named both player of the year and also defensive player of the year. And I know you were talking to Wally Walker about athleticism, this and that. I say poppycock. The guy's big, strong, and he has extraordinary lateral quickness. And I think he's just a thinking player. He knows if a guy is right-handed, he shades that right hand. And so he forces players to go to their weak hand. And as you know, every player is a little less dominant when you force him to his weak hand. So I've admired the guy ever since he's been at Virginia. He overcame a bad foot injury and major surgery, and people wondered whether he would ever really play like they thought he might.
Yeah, a lot of us were fearful that since it was congenital, that it might happen to the other foot. So we're happy with the medical staff at Virginia, and you're right. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon, he just had a fabulous career in Charlottesville, and it'd be nice to see him get that Everett Case Award this weekend and get to the Final Four. That would be really a great way of finishing his career in Charlottesville. Anyway, Frank.
Last comment. Ryan Zimmerman made a commitment this past week for $1 million in support of the UVA baseball program. And if you have not talked about it, I hope you'll take a minute and just reflect on that, because the idea is to build fixed stands going down first baseline and then build some boxes and a larger grandstand going all the way down the first baseline. And Ryan Zimmerman, what a class act and a generous young man. And he's always been everything that, you know, every Wahoo student athlete should be. So
no, that's great for the Virginia baseball program. All right. Well, listen, you have a productive trip, safe trip home. And if I don't see you before, we'll see you in Washington.
Absolutely. I'll see you on Wednesday. Take care, Hobo. Thank you, Terry.
All right, bye. Frank Maloney, join us by phone tonight. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. Final segment when we come back, Terry and I will break down the ACC tournament starting tomorrow at noon. It's hard to believe it starts on Tuesday. At any rate, you're listening to Who's Talking. Stay with us.